Good morning. Thank you, Armando, for leading that song. You stole a point from my sermon, but I'm glad. And we will get to that point towards the end, the faithfulness of God. And the faithfulness of God can be seen in God's plans. And that is going to be our focus this morning, God's plans, as illustrated through the example found in Daniel. So if you would, open your Bible and turn to Daniel. We will focus in Daniel chapter 2. But as a means of context, this is Babylonian, and Jerusalem is in Babylonian captivity, and Nebuchadnezzar is taking reign, and Daniel is placed as one of the servants in the kingdom, in the king's palace, and we read of how talented Daniel is, and how godly Daniel is, and how he has been taken care of in the kingdom. And that brings us to chapter 2. And so I'd like to start off by reading Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And then after we read these things, I will reveal how we will approach the discussion of God's plans within the story of Daniel. So starting off in Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, "I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic. "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give you the interpretation." And you can see the flattery and the hopefulness of flattery, of the effects of flattery that will have. And then in verse 5, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretations, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation." The king answered and said, "I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this reason, the king was angry and very furious, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And so let's look at this circumstance for just a moment. It seems an impossible circumstance. Imagine you were these astrologers, these Chaldeans. They're supposed to tell the king what he dreamed, and if you don't, what's the consequence? That you get chopped up into pieces. It's a dire circumstance. And yet within this circumstance, God uses this to reveal himself and his plans to us. And I think so often, especially our culture, and I know I have found myself doing this, we try to figure out God's plans. We look at our circumstance and we see the moments within our lives that we just cannot figure out. And we look at what's presented before us and we think there's not a way out. Or this makes no sense whatsoever. I don't understand this. And you can see yourself in this circumstance, and we know that Daniel is about to be faced with the same circumstance. And can you imagine the fear? They did nothing to incur this wrath. It's an egotistical request from this king. Guess my dream. Tell me what it means. And if not, I'll kill you. It's ridiculous. And sometimes we find ourselves in similar situations. But God in his omnipotence, omniscience, and mercy and faithfulness will show us how his plans work. And so that's the outline for our study this morning. We will look at a troubling situation, a timely solution, the task of showing this, a terrific significance, and then a trumpeted statement that is God's plan. And so we look at the troubling situation and what we have been introduced here in Daniel. And it is, like I mentioned, a seemingly impossible situation. And where does the king turn? He is having troubles. He is having something that is bothering him in his life. And where does he go? He turns towards men. And he looks towards men with their answers. We find in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, it reads, O Lord, I know not that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, it says, Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? And in Psalm 118, verse 8, it says, It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And we sing the song, Where could I go but to the Lord? And that song makes it seem as if this isn't obvious. And the fact of the matter is, it should be for us as Christians. When we find ourselves in troubling situations, why do we try to figure things out on our own? Or why do we seek the wisdom of man? Often that's the first place we look. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar did. And that's what you see that the Chaldeans did. But the first place that we should go is to the Lord. It should be an obvious to us. And that's part of the plan. A recognition that God does have a plan. And in this, we will see a timely solution. If you will look in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Actually, let's start where we left off. Verse 13. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them, for Daniel had been given the gift of interpretation as well as revealed in the earlier scriptures. Then in verse 14, with the counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain king's guard, who gone out to kill the wise man of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning the secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And we see this time and time again, and I remember this vividly from when I was a little kid. You know, why did this figure in the Bible mess up? Why did this human mess up in the Bible? And the answer was always they didn't ask God first. I think there's a little bit of a correlation with asking your parents first, and that's maybe why that is so prevalent in our younger studies, but it's the truth. And you see that contrast between these individuals that are in the kingdom of Babylon as opposed to Daniel, and he gathers his friends together, and they go to God. It's a beautiful little verse right there. And that's what we need to do as well. Well, they go to God, and then in verse 19, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. It's effectual, and it's real. If God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, this is the same God that has just given Daniel a solution. Our faith needs to rest in that capability of God, that a solution will be had. And we'll talk about what solutions look like later in just a moment. But we need to rest assured that there is one. When we go to God, there is a solution for any circumstance. And then in verse 20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank You and praise You, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we have asked of You, for You have made known to us the king's demand." That's the same heart that should be within ours. That same overwhelming praise towards God and thankfulness toward God, and the surety that He has the answers. And it's such a, in verse 22, it's such a wonderful expression. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him. God knows everything. God knows every circumstance. He knows all of the ugliness that we as humans have imparted upon this earth and towards each other. And yet, light is what dwells with Him. And so, the possible is something that is assured to us in any situation, which is part of God's plan. In Luke chapter 18, verse 27, it says, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." And then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, we have the well-read verse and the often quoted verse, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me." And Daniel recognizes this idea. And we'll talk about the context of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 towards the end, on what all things are. But in this circumstance, the point is that Daniel is focused on the possible, for he is assured and he rests in the idea of God's plan. And he finds answers. But that can't be where it stops for us. Once we have developed this faith and this confidence, we then have to do, we then have to act. Simply to ask of God and then to find the wisdom within God's word and then to do nothing about it is falling short. It's a fact of lack of faith. And so we are then placed with the task of showing. And so Daniel has to go before the king. And then Daniel tells the king his dream, that you in your dream saw a great image. And in this great image was described as thus: the head was made of gold, the chest and arms of silver, the legs were made of brass, the feet were made of iron mixed with clay. Then a stone cut without hands came and destroyed the image to dust. And this stone then became a mountain and filled the whole earth. Now this is a real happening. This is not a story. This is an actual happening. And I want you to place yourself in that room where Daniel goes up to the king and says, "Here's your dream." And tells him exactly the dream. The king has two choices at that moment. Okay, to either ignore his honest reaction or to ask himself, "How is this possible?" And look for the honest answer. And of course, there's only one way that this is a possibility, and it's through God. And when Daniel reveals this to him, Daniel gives the praise, the credit to God. He glorified God. Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of His wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen." Daniel relates this same concept. In the midst of a troubling situation, he seeks God's wisdom, and then shows those around him God's wisdom. That is all, and you see this throughout the Old Testament. It's what I mentioned before, but that is, you know, the wisdom of Daniel is to step aside and relate the wisdom of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says that now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And we see this wonderful opportunity that when we submit ourselves to the power of God, to the wisdom of God, and whenever we work in his vineyard and give the glory unto him, that we are his vessels. That the power of God is seen through us. That's a humbling idea. It's a sobering idea. That you and I are vessels of his will. It's a beautiful idea. But it's one that should move us towards action from the seeking of wisdom of God. And in God's omnipotence, and in this idea, God knows the hearts of men. God knows who we are as human, as individuals. He knows our souls. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9 says, "The Lord searches all hearts and understands all of our thoughts." And we can rest assured that if it is that desire that is within our hearts to serve for him, and we seek him out and we look for work, that it will happen. That we have that purpose laid before us. And that is part of God's plan. I've mentioned several times before, and for some reason I think I mention it in every sermon, but God's will is going to be accomplished with or without us. It's up to us to get on his side, to get on the train that's moving. The train's going to reach its destination, with or without us. And that's part of the plan. And just as the destination is concerned, God knows the destination and he knows the futures of men. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 8 through 9. "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." God knows the end. God knows every outcome. He is the one who calleth those things which be not as though they were. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. And in his mercy and in his faithfulness, God reveals those plans to us. And as a result, they have a wonderful and terrific significance. God's plans have a significance to all of our circumstances. And so, getting back to the illustration of Daniel, Daniel then explains these dreams. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, is the head of gold. The chest and arms of silver is the kingdom that would arise inferior to Nebuchadnezzar. The legs of brass is yet a third kingdom to rule over the whole earth. The fourth kingdom would be as strong as iron, but weak in that it would be divided. And in the days of these kings of the fourth kingdom, God would set up his kingdom. And God's kingdom would never be destroyed, but consume all the other kingdoms and stand forever. So let's make the actual application of this dream, okay, and see and how it transpired. The head of the gold is the king of Babylon, like we said, and thus we find the Babylonian Empire. And the empire that came afterward was the Medo-Persian Empire, which we find in the latter part of the book of Daniel, which is historical. It's proven. And here we are, chronologically before it happens, and it's being foretold. The legs of brass that ruled over the whole world was the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. And then the feet of iron and clay was the Roman Empire. We find that it was in the days of the Roman Empire that God sets up his kingdom. And this kingdom is the church that you and I are part of right now. And so this plan that was revealed earlier is what you and I are participating in this very moment. That was foretold in Daniel. This is the obvious contrast between kingdoms, though. What is the contrast here? It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom that transcends all other kingdoms that man has known. John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom." It's talking about God's, the church, God's plan for the church, for the salvation of man. And so, going back to Daniel, once this has been revealed, what is the king's response? The king is dumbfounded. The king looks at Daniel and praises Daniel and honors Daniel and says, "This is unbelievable." In verse 47, go ahead and turn to look at verse 47. Actually, let's look at verse 46. After he says to Daniel, "This is true," okay, the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. Then verse 47, the king answered Daniel and said, "Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." It's pretty powerful. The king recognizes that it is above man. And he makes Daniel a great man, a ruler over the province of Babylon. And then Daniel is promoted. And great blessings are placed upon Daniel as a result of him trusting in God's plan. God takes care of those that serve him. There's not an instance where he doesn't. Chapter 34, verse 15. "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open up upon their cry." Psalm 34, verse 17. "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." And Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." God's plans for us is a plan that always takes care of us. And this brings me to the point of this entire lesson of Daniel. And there's a little bit of a contrast here between Daniel's circumstance and our circumstances that we find ourselves in the latter part. In the kingdom of God, meaning his church. Daniel found himself in an impossible situation and went to God, and it resulted in success for him. Physical success, correct? He was assured a promotion. He was taken care of. And this is where people often fail in recognizing God's plans. And sometimes I think we as Christians perhaps lose sight of what God's plan really is, and we fall victim to the same sort of thought process. That we took the same exact steps that Daniel did. And we even justify, or not necessarily justify, but we check our hearts and we ask ourselves, am I going to God and seeking his wisdom? And am I truly humbling myself? Am I truly trusting in his faith? In his power? Is my faith there? And oftentimes our answer is yes. And then what we pray for doesn't happen. What we pray for doesn't look the way that we hoped it would look. And so then we do one or two things. We either question God or we question ourselves. Neither one of the correct response. And so what's the problem here? Well, we're not looking at God's plan for what it is. And this is what the world often does. They look for immediate answers because they see those immediate answers in the Bible. Daniel has those immediate answers. It's seen. It's powerful. And then we look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, and it says, "Well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And so we find ourselves appealing to God and living the way we should, and things still don't work out. What's the answer? I thought God had a plan for me. And what people have often done is taken this kind of romantic view and said, well, all things happen for a reason. And they said, well, I don't know what it is yet. Okay, but all things happen for a reason. But a skeptic can come up to you and say, well, that didn't really happen for any reason. And there's truth to that. Sometimes it's just the world. Because it's not heaven. So then what's the answer? We have to know what God's plan is. If you look above verse 13 in Philippians chapter 4, right before it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, Paul talks about how he can be content in all things. It doesn't matter what is going on in his life, he has learned how to be content in both the good and the bad. And that's the answer. Because he knows what God's plan is. And he knows that whatever happens in this life, whatever emotion that we incur, whatever circumstance that you and I go through, that it really doesn't matter as long as it fits into God's plan. And so what is God's plan? What is this thing that we have to keep focused on? And it's the obvious, and you already know it. It's salvation. That everything that happens in this life is really of no consequence unless it has a spiritual consequence. That's what Paul's talking about in Philippians chapter 4. That all things have to lead towards a spiritual consequence. And if we lose that spiritual mindset set, then of course things don't work out. But if you've lost that spiritual mindset, if you've lost the idea of the end of this having a spiritual consequence, then that is how you lose your faith. That is how we become discouraged. We've lost sight of God's plan. God's plan for us on this earth is to find Him. To know Him. Not to know the earth. Not to experience the earth. But by living in this earth, we are taught more and more about Him. Every day, every step. And when we lose sight of that, we lose sight of the plan. And that's when things don't work. That's when we start looking towards other things. We start looking towards even our family members for some type of confidence or some type of comfort. I hate to break it to you, but every single person in your family will disappoint you at some point because we're humans. And if we put our faith in that idea, we'll lose it. It's a carnal mindset. It is not part of God's plan. And in God's wisdom, He has set us up to whenever we follow His plan and we do what He says, that's when our hearts find its connection. And that's where we are most happy. It's how we're made. But when we disconnect ourselves from that, that's when we're most miserable. That's when we feel like we're on a hamster wheel. We're searching and searching and we think we're kind of doing the right thing, but we're not. We're looking at my plan. How often do we do that? I do that without even knowing. But my indicator is I'm kind of miserable right now. Or frustrated. Or bored or tired or sad or whatever it is. That's your indicator. You're thinking of your plan, not God's. And so we have to look at God's plan with our life. We have to know that God has made us and created us to know Him, and that's what the plan is. And what's so wonderful about it, like we just sang in Psalm 23, Great is Thy Faithfulness, is that He is faithful to always make sure that that is provided for us. He already has. He's given us His Word. He promises that we will never be wanting for anything to those that serve Him. What a wonderful idea. It should give us strength and courage. And should allow us to impart this wisdom upon the lives that we are living. It should direct our paths. And so as we conclude, let us keep in mind God's plan. Let us make sure that we are fitting our lives, our little small increments of decisions that we have to make to progress through this earthly existence, that those things are submitting to God's plan. That they fit within God's plan. For that is why we are here. If there is anything that we can do to help you get towards that plan, get back on that path, we stand ready to help you. And brethren, I encourage us all to be like the individuals with Daniel, to gather one another together and say, let's go to God with this. Let's help each other on this journey as we stand, as we sing.